I pray as we gather around your word, Spirit of the living God, open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to hear what you've got to say to us this morning, that we might walk in greater holiness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please take a seat. Please grab a Bible. There should be one on your seat or around about you. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jenny. I'm one of the team of leaders here. And please grab a Bible and turn to page 1106. So that's Galatians 5, 1106. Give us a little look when you've got it. 1106, Galatians 5. And I'll start with this question. I was meant to bring a prize with me this morning, but I've been flying solo with my son, so we just about made it to church, and so certainly didn't stop off on the way to get a prize. But I just thought, actually, if you get the question right, you could take something from the craft table. So here we go. The heart wants what it wants was a 2014 hit for which singer? Yeah, go for it. Oh, Celine Dion, no. Any other guesses? Oh, my days. Okay. Selena Gomez. Does anyone actually know who that is? Oh. Well, okay, a couple of people. Okay. The heart wants what it wants. The immortal words of Selena Gomez. We're going to come back to her at some point in this talk for her pearls of wisdom. But we are continuing in a series looking at Know Your Enemy. If you've been about the past couple of weeks, or if you haven't, we've been looking at the enemy and his tactics to kind of get us to kill, steal and destroy through the world, the flesh and the devil. And so we've looked at the devil the past couple of weeks because we believe that when we know the schemes of the enemy, we know how to stand firm and to resist them. And so today we're going to be looking at the flesh, which is what we're going to be looking at in Galatians 5. Now, before Nick comes to read to us, let me just set a bit of context. So the guy writing this is a guy called Paul. He's one of the apostles of Jesus. And he spent his letter explaining that actually believers, they're saved through following Jesus, not following the Old Testament laws and the rituals that come with it. And so he explains right at the start of Galatians that Jesus loves us. He loved them and he loves us and he died for them, paying the punishment that we deserve so that what? We can be free. So freedom is a big aspect of Paul's letter. And so Jesus makes us right with God and Jesus brings freedom. And Paul urges the believers in Galatia to walk out in that freedom. So to live a different kind of life with the freedom that they experience in Christ. So if you look at verse 1, it says, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. And so Paul then goes on to say, live out your life in freedom. So Nick's going to come and read Galatians chapter 5. And we're just going to pick up from verse 16 to the end. So 16 to 26.
So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other.
Thanks, Nick. If you keep your Bible open, that would be great. Okay, so Paul kicks off in this section, talking in verse 16, saying, don't use your freedom to gratify your sinful desires or the desires of your flesh. So the Greek word for flesh is flesh, like our skin, but it also talks about our flesh being our cravings, or Romans 7 talks about our sinful passions. Ephesians 2 talks about our corrupt desires. Selena Gomez talks about the heart wanting what the heart wants. So corrupt desires, our cravings, our sinful passions. And he goes on to say in verses 19 to 21, the acts of the flesh, the acts of the sinful nature, they're obvious. And then he goes on and reads what, quite frankly, is a pretty ugly list, right? Verses 19, swapping, using our sexuality to get what I want from your body without any love involved at all. Verse 20, swapping a holy God for crystals and horoscopes and manifestation. The part of me that wants to tear other people down rather than building other people up, verse 20. Verse 21, uncontrolled addictions and wild parties and other similar behaviour. All of it, it says in Romans 8, is hostile to God. It is so against what God wants and what God desires. And Paul goes on verse 21 and he says, if you live like this, if you live like that list, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will not inherit the kingdom here. You will not inherit the kingdom after you die. That doesn't belong to you. Not because we're meant to earn our salvation, but actually we're meant to be living differently as followers of Jesus as evidence that the Spirit is within us. And so he goes on to talk about what that looks like in practice. See, there was a time, friends, that if you're a follower of Jesus now, there was a time when you were powerless to your flesh. But following Jesus and having the Spirit placed within you means, verse 24, your flesh has been crucified. It's as good as dead. But the problem is, don't know about you, but I live in a constant state where I feel like actually my desires don't feel particularly dead. And this is the reason why a guy called John Owen said this. When you crucify someone, they don't die straight away. They're doomed and they bleed out and they get weaker and they get weaker until they're completely dead. So our flesh is crucified, it's all but dead, but we're living in a stage where actually it's weaker and weaker, but it's still there, the desires are still there, but not to the extent that they were. We're not completely powerless. We stand a chance of fighting against it. There was a time when our flesh was the complete boss of my life, and now it's not. And I've got the freedom, which Paul talks about again in Galatians, we've got the freedom to choose which way we live. But there's a constant battle and there's a constant conflict, verse 17, that takes place. It rages between the spirit within us and our corrupt and innate desires. The battle rages on. And so now, though, if you're a follower of Jesus, your flesh is crucified and you stand a chance to fight. But the question is, how do we fight against our flesh? How do we fight against those desires? Well, look, verse 16 says, walk by the Spirit. Verse 18, be led by the Spirit. Verse 25 says, keep in step with the Spirit. See, God has given his children the provision of the Holy Spirit. When you surrender your life to Jesus, you get a deposit of the Spirit of the living God within you. I think that's quite cool myself. It's tapping into a power that is so much beyond us. And as a result, we can walk by the Spirit. And walking literally means walking. So step by step, we walk with the Spirit. And then we get to a point and we turn around and we say, oh, I used to be over there and I walked one step at a time and now I'm here. So we walk by the Spirit. Now, unless you're walking in a mountain or in some beautiful countryside, I don't know about you, but I don't particularly find walking a particularly glamorous or exciting thing. I mean, if you're walking somewhere nice or you're going to something, fair enough. But, I mean, it's rare that you would celebrate the fact that you got out of bed and you walked along the street to get to work. You know, people don't say, oh, I walked today. Good for you. Great. Maybe if you're out and about and you were setting that as being a thing, but you just carry on and you walk about your business. And so often, walking in step with the Spirit can seem really, really unglamorous. But verse 16, as we walk by the Spirit, we automatically do not fulfill the desires of our flesh. So actually, there's something glamorous that is taking place as we walk by the Spirit and in step with the Spirit. And look, Paul's saying this is completely opposite to willpower. This is completely opposite to trying harder and trying harder and trying harder, which can become tiring and joyless and rarely makes a difference. And so he's encouraging believers, use your effort and spend it walking by the Spirit. And so how do we do that? There's no massive revelation in terms of that. John Mark Homer says, we fight the disordered desires of our flesh through spiritual practices that open us up to the work of the Holy Spirit. So spiritual practices like fasting and giving and prayer and confession and worship and thanksgiving and reading our Bibles and being in community, practicing the Sabbath, silence and solitude. There are spiritual practices. And as we consistently do those things, we deepen our relationship with God and then the Spirit is at work within us and battles against the desires of our flesh. Problem is, the enemy comes along with his lies, says, that's a bit boring though, isn't it? Bit boring. Or oh, that's a bit intense. I mean, I go to church once a week already on a Sunday. I might read my verse for the day once a month. Like, really, do I need to be doing all of that? The thing is, friends, this isn't the boring stuff that followers of Jesus do. This is our arsenal to battle against the enemy. If you want to stand a chance of fighting your flesh, you need that at your disposal. And so in practice, what does it look like? It looks like I give more money away when I know that greed is taking a hold on my heart. It looks like fasting from my social media when I'm getting to the point where I'm comparing myself with what I see, when I'm getting envious of the images that I'm seeing, and when I'm losing hours upon hours to a device. It looks like having biblical truth embedded in my head and in my heart to fight the lies that come from myself, about you and about the world around me. It looks like praying to fight against my self-sufficiency, thinking that I can go through life and I can survive without God. It means safeguarding my Sabbath when I know I've got that compulsion to work even on my day off. It means when I fail that I confess to one or two close people to me who will encourage me and speak truth to me. It means all of that and to worship and to be silent and to give thanks. All of that is walking by the Spirit. All of that is walking in step with the Spirit. And this is what happens. Think of it like this. When you sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap another action. You sow some actions, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. You sow a character, you reap a destiny. And this is the thing, that destiny is either in slavery to the flesh or freedom to the Spirit. And so Jesus sets us free in verse 13, says we have a choice what we do with that. We can indulge our flesh and indulge our sinful nature. Or Romans 12 verse 1 says we can live a life of self-sacrifice. Actually, the stuff that we naturally love, actually staying away from that kind of stuff. We can indulge our flesh, but actually that's like being released from prison, being set free from prison to go in to live our lives in a cell. It makes absolutely no sense why you would do it. And verse 17, Paul says, don't do whatever you want to do. You might feel like doing it, you might think about doing it, but don't do whatever you want to do. Now, I live down the bottom end of Roman Road, and we're very blessed. Outside my house is the number 8 bus stop. Thank you, Lord. The best bus route in the world. And I walk to work most days. Sometimes I do to and fro twice a day. So, like, you know, walking again. And it's tempting so often to just jump on a number 8 bus. Right outside my door, drops me right at the top of Wilmot Street, living the dream. But I don't take the bus, one, because of the cost involved, and two, because it's healthier walking than it is to get the bus, right? But there's times when normally after I've done a Bible study and my brain's been a little bit fried, I'm a bit hungry, when I'm either hungry or I'm tired, where that number 8 bus just looks so much more lovely. And actually, the desire to jump on board and pay, what is it, like £1.70 or something now for a bus fare. So to jump on, some of you don't know because you've got a freedom pass, but I'm jealous, my day will come. We jump on a bus, it looks so much more inviting in the moments that I'm hungry and I'm tired and I just want to get home. And someone taught me this, that actually when you're in those moments where you're hungry, or you're angry, or you're lonely, or you're tired, H-A-L-T, halt. Because actually, in those moments, you've got a choice to make. And you're going to make a choice whether you're going to walk by your flesh, or you're going to walk by your spirit. And so I would encourage you this morning, in the times this week where you're hungry, you're angry, you're lonely, and you're tired, to halt. Because they're the moments in which we need to keep on walking by the spirit. Because it would be so tempting to take the equivalent of the bus and just indulge our sinful nature. But actually, the time then is to halt, to take a moment and say, God, actually, I still want to carry on walking by the Spirit and being kept keeping in step with the Spirit. And in Galatians 5, Paul carries on and says, as we walk by the Spirit, what? He does the work in us. He does the work in us. He shows us the places in our lives that now must change. And as he works in us, I've heard this quite a few times over the past couple of years. The things that people have hated, they've grown to love. And the things that they love, they now come to a place of absolutely hating. Because our desires and our thoughts and our behaviour changes. And it changes over time because the Spirit at work within us. Now, the thoughts and the desires of our fleshly nature, of our corrupt desires, of our sinful nature may still be there. But they get weaker. They get weaker as time goes on, saying no and saying no and saying no again, until actually I can walk away from whatever that thing is. And so the angry outbursts that there used to be in the past actually don't happen today. The lustful thoughts aren't my thoughts now. The jealousy that might have engulfed me then, that's actually a thing of the past now, because day by day, step by step, walking in step with the Spirit. Now, friends, the Spirit that is within us is the same power that raised Christ from the dead, okay? So quite powerful, some might say, okay? God has the ability to completely transform us like that. And actually, for some people I know and I've seen, they've really struggled with something in their lives of their sinful nature, that God has just removed that temptation or that desire in a heartbeat. He is able to do that. But more often than not, actually for us, it is a long obedience in the same direction. We are called to keep walking in the same direction towards Jesus. And it may take weeks, and it may take months, or as Andy said, it may take years. But there will come a point where I will look and I will realize that I was over there, and now I'm over here because God has moved me and God has transformed me. Verse 16, so we overcome the desires of our flesh and we see transformation. It's possible. It is possible. John Stott, a great Christian writer, said this. He said, it's no good giving me a play like Hamlet or King Lear. They're Shakespeare plays, by the way. There's no good in giving me a play like that and telling me to write a play like that. Shakespeare could do it, I can't. And it's no good showing me a life like Jesus and telling me to live a life like that. Jesus could do it, but I can't. But if the genius of Shakespeare could come and live in me, then I could write plays like his. And if the Spirit of Jesus could come and live in me, then I could live a life like this. Friends, it is completely and utterly possible to live a life like Jesus. completely possible. And so for us, walking by the Spirit, the consequence is what? Verses 22 to 23. When we walk by the Spirit, we begin to manifest what? His fruit. See, if I said to you now, grow an apple from your knee, would it be possible for you to do it? No, probably not. I mean, you might have nice knees. I mean, who knows? But it won't be possible to do it. If I said, try really, really hard to grow an apple from your knee, would you be able to do it? No. If I said, spend a long time trying, you get the point. You're not going to grow an apple from your knee. If you want an apple, you go to an apple tree and you take its produce because the apple tree produces that fruit. You can't make the fruit of the Spirit grow in your own life by trying harder, because it's the Spirit's fruit. I can't make myself be any more loving than I can make myself be any less angry. It's not possible by just trying, but actually it's possible as I stay in step with the Spirit. That kind of fruitfulness Jesus talked about in John 15, where he's talking about the vine and he's talking about the branches. And he says to be fruitful, that comes from staying connected to me, the vine. And so as we walk in step with the Spirit, as we stay connected to Jesus, that is the only way to bear fruit. The only way to bear fruit. And that is the evidence of someone walking by the Spirit. As we walk by the Spirit, don't actually know if this is a word, but we become less fleshly. Is that a word, Jackie? We become less fleshly. I like that word. We become less like our sinful nature as we walk in the Spirit. And we become more like Jesus. We get this fruit that is listed there in verses 22 to 23 that starts to materialize and manifest in our life. And again, it's step by step. You don't wake up one morning, oh, I'm a woman of self-control today. It doesn't work like that. But actually, step by step, practicing my spiritual disciplines, it actually makes a difference. But so often we want that kind of quick fix and that quick turnaround of like, God, change me right now. But actually, the time comes as the Spirit's at work within us that our love becomes loving even when we're treated unfairly. And we start to manifest and show a joy that overflows and a peace that subdues and patience that endures and kindness that's in action and faith that prevails. It just keeps on going as we what? Walk in step with the Spirit. Here's an example of that from my life really recently. It's never like a coincidence. When God kind of knows that you're speaking, he tends to do like a bit of work in you on that topic so that you can speak with some bit of integrity. God took me in my quiet time in the morning to Psalm 51, which, if you don't know what it's about, it's David, after he's committed adultery with Bathsheba, he pours out his heart towards God. And it starts off like this. He says, have mercy on me, God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. So blot out my sin. And I really felt like God had brought me here because he had something to say to me from it. And I was like, oh, okay, this wasn't like the word for the day that I thought he was going to give me. And I sat with it for a couple of days. I'm like, God, what is it that you're wanting to show me from this passage? Or is it just me? You know, you have that moment where you kind of read something, you think, oh, is that just me? Just come across that psalm. So that was on the Monday and the Tuesday. And then Tuesday lunchtime, I don't think you'll mind me saying this, we had our last staff lunch of the term, and so Rye gave us all thank you cards, you know, for the year and stuff, like with a little encouragement inside them. And he said, like, bless him, he said, I've been really praying and waiting on God to give you a verse that I think God wants me to give to you, but obviously, like, weigh it, it might be from God or it might be from me. So I was like, great, opened it. I'm like, oh, here we go. Like, what are you trying to say, Rye? So I opened it and he said, have mercy on me, God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. I'm like, actually, I need to pay attention now to what God's saying. And over that week and over the coming days, actually, God's saying, Jen, you don't take your sin seriously enough. Because so often, you don't walk in step with the Spirit, you walk in step with the people around you, and that becomes your benchmark for what's okay and what isn't okay. But actually, in Galatians, Paul says, walk in step with the Spirit. Not walk in step with your best friend, not walk in step with your spouse, not walk in step with your church leaders. Actually, our standard is Jesus. And do you know what? Time and time again, I fall short. And the Spirit said, Jen, this is the stuff that I want you to work on. And it's not going to be easy, and it's going to be challenging, and it's going to be painful, and it's going to be difficult. And do you know my response? Oh, I've tried that before. Tried it before. Okay, new strategy. I'm going to fast, and I'm going to pray specifically about these things. Now, let me tell you, I'm now not an angel compared to what I was a couple of weeks ago. And that might be a newsflash for some people. I'm not any more angelic, but let me tell you, I'm a little bit less controlled by my flesh and maybe a little bit more self-controlled as a result of it. Just day by day, walking in step with the Spirit. Friends, the end of that part of Galatians chapter 5, verse 26 says, don't become conceited. And this is the challenge I've had preparing this talk, right? I just feel like I'm teaching granny to suck eggs, okay? Like, if you've been around church for some time, this ain't going to be new news to you. And quite frankly, a lot of you could stand here and you could preach the same thing. But the danger is if we begin to think, well, I'm baptized and I know my Bible and I've been a Christian for 30 years, like, this don't really apply to me. Paul says, don't become conceited. Don't become proud and arrogant to think that this doesn't apply to you. This applies to you. Walking in a step with the Spirit applies to you whether you've been a believer for 1 week or for 50 years. Day by day, long obedience in the same direction. And so, my friends, like, what is God calling you today? The battle is going to rage on with your flesh. There's no two ways about it. Until we get to glory, our sinful desires keep rearing their ugly heads, and the enemy goes about and presses our Achilles' heel, knowing where to get us, knows which temptations to lay into your path, knows which temptations to lay into my path. How do we not walk by our flesh, but actually walk in step with the Spirit? Like, what are you going to do this week? Some of our friends in recovery, when they do the 12 steps, one of their steps is to do a searching and fearless moral inventory. And let me tell you, talking to them, that's not just kind of like, oh, where am I a bit bad? They're like, God and people around me, show me where I need to change. And so maybe I offer that out as a suggestion. Maybe we need to say to God this week, like, God, where do I need to change? Like, actually, where am I just at the whim of my flesh nature? Maybe this morning you're struggling with some of that list that Paul lists out. It's an ugly list, but a very human list too. And maybe you need to change your plan and your strategy in fighting against your flesh. Maybe you've been trying to do it alone. So get people around you. Get people praying for you. Have a change of strategy when you're coming to fight against those things. Maybe this morning you're so aware of your humanity and you just think, man, oh man, I've fallen even this morning again to the same thing. Here's the good news. With Jesus, there is always a way back. Always a way back. Grace, God's riches, God's goodness, God's kindness at Christ's expense picks us up and says, let's go again. We can do it again. We're going to go again. Day by day, walking in step with the Spirit. Let me close with this. At the end of our DBS, our Discovery Bible Study groups, we ask this one question. We say, what will I do differently as a result of what I've learned today? And sometimes it's really challenging to think, what would I do? Oh, what would I do? Other times you're like, what wouldn't I do? There's a whole list of things I can do. But maybe let me ask you this morning, as you read Galatians 5, maybe reflect on it at some point through your day. Maybe ask, what will I do differently as a result this week in my fight, in my battle against my flesh? And let me encourage you, it's not about trying harder. It's about walking in step with the Spirit, staying connected to Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you didn't come for a bunch of good people. Like, you came to save the sick, and you came to save sinners, and you came to save the broken, and you came to save the messed up. You came to save those who thought they were good but actually weren't good. And I thank you, Jesus, that you came to save and to restore and to set free. And God, for like my brothers and sisters in this room, you know where they struggle in the battle against their flesh. And God, I pray that you would resource them with all that they need to stand firm, with the resources of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God, would you show us like how we are to do battle against the things that trip us up? What of those spiritual practices, God, do we even need to keep on doing, or do we need to start doing? And God, I pray that we would take our battle against our flesh seriously. Yeah, and God, would you just help us? That Spirit of the living God, would you help us? Would you empower us? And God, I pray there'll be times like on our journey of faith that we would look up and look behind and see how far we've come. And know to celebrate, not because of what we've done, but because of what you've done in us. And so thank you, God, that you pick us up from the dirt and you dust us off and you change us and you give us a new life. And if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know that, God, I pray that that would be a reality to them this morning in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.